Farewell to one of those months of the year that is included in the 4 months known as the Ashur-e-Hurum, and that is the month of Rajab. And we will find that in this month, one of the greatest events to ever occur in the history of Islam, or for that matter in the history of humanity, had taken place in this month of Rajab. And that was the miraculous journey of Mi'raj, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taken from Makkah al-Mukarrama to Masjid al-Aqsa, and from Masjid al-Aqsa up to the seven heavens and beyond. This past Sunday night, many of us may have attended the gatherings in the masajid, the musallas, discussing this event of Mi'raj, where details may have been discussed in great lengths, lessons may have derived, and we heard quite a bit of this Mi'raj, inshallah. However, this month of Rajab, it is not only known for this event of Mi'raj. It had produced many, many great events in the Islam, in the history of Islam. When it came to the Battle of Tabuk, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had set out with approximately 30,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum towards Sham to meet with the Roman soldiers, and there the victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them with, this victory of Tabuk had marked the control of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Muslims of the entire Arabian Peninsula. And this was, as we would say, maybe like the gateway or the doorway towards Futuh al-Sham, towards the different conquest of the areas and the region in Sham, and eventually leading to the conquest of Masjid al-Aqsa in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Another great event that had taken place in this month, the month of Rajab, my respected elders and brothers, was the famous conquest of Masjid al-Aqsa many, many decades later. After the Crusaders had taken over, it was in this month of Rajab, wherein one of the greatest warriors of all times, one of the greatest kings, one of the greatest commanders ever to walk the face of this earth, after Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and that was the conquest of Aqsa under the hands of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi. So this had also taken place in this month of Rajab. And we will find that this month of Rajab, it is continuously producing great events. And one such event, which is the focus of my topic today, is this year, the year 1446, in the month of Rajab, January 2025, on the 19th or the 20th of January, was one of the greatest victories that the Muslims had achieved within the past century in the struggle for the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa, which have been dubbed the ceasefire. It is just called ceasefire. But when we understand what a great victory it was for the Muslim Ummah, and in particular for the people of Gaza, unfortunately, we won't understand what a victory it was. We are being manipulated. We get influenced by the Western media, where they distort facts, they change points and figures, etc. And they always make the Ummah feel that we are the weaker ones. And they portray themselves to be of a superior nature. So we are being warped, we are being influenced by the media. But the liberation, or the struggle for the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa, had begun from December 1917, at the fall of the Ottoman Empire, when the Khilafat was abolished. As long as the Khilafat stood, this was, as we would say, like a shield for the entire Muslim Ummah across the world. This was the backbone of the Muslim Ummah. Wherever there was turmoil, whenever there was difficulty, sufferings in the Muslim lands or in the Muslims across the world, then they could rely on the Khilafat for assistance. And they used to take assistance from this Khilafat. As long as the Khilafat was there, it was a great support for the Muslim Ummah. So that is why the enemies of Islam, they had worked tirelessly in bringing this Khilafat down. And it was great assistance that was rendered to them from the very treacherous Shia nation that they managed to bring this Khilafat down in 1917. And from the time the Khilafat was abolished, Aqsa was taken away. Chunks of land, of Muslim land, was taken away and distributed to the enemies. And from then, the struggle to liberate Aqsa had begun. In between, in the past century, there were many, many wars that were fought. But this specific war, my respected elders and brothers, this 15-month war that began on the 7th of October 2023, this was the longest war to be fought. 15 months, the longest, and it was the most miraculous war also. The aim and the goal, the purpose of this war was made very, very clear from the very beginning. Abu Ubaidah, who is the spokesperson of the Qassam Brigades, whenever he delivered a speech, he mentioned that our aim, our goal, our purpose, لِتَحْرِيرِ أَسْرَانَا وَمَسْرَانَا, is to liberate all those captives and those prisoners that were unjustly taken by the Israeli and the Zionist soldiers. And they are languishing in the people of Gaza. They are in the prisons, in the cells of the jails of the Israel state. This war, number one, our maqsad is to free all of them. When this statement was made, the entire world jeered. The same state of Israel made it very clear that we will never ever release not even one prisoner. And we will never leave until Gaza is flattened and there's not one person remaining. At the time, on the 19th of January, at the announcement of the ceasefire, we saw thousands and thousands of Palestinians, of residents of Gaza, being allowed to come back to their hometown. Parents came back to their children. Children came back to their families. So indeed, my respected elders and brothers, this was a very great victory. And this was one maqsad. The second maqsad that Abu Ubaidah had always stressed on, لِتَحْرِيرِ مَسْرَانَا, that our goal and our purpose, our main goal and main purpose is the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. And inshallah, inshallah, this maqsad will be achieved very, very quickly. That is why from the very beginning, this entire operation was known as Tufan al-Aqsa, the Aqsa floods or the protection of Masjid al-Aqsa. Many a times, the thought comes to mind that why did Hamas take those steps on the 7th of October? And look at what it has caused. But when a person will just go back a little, and in 2023, we do a little research and we see for ourselves what was taking place in the land of Aqsa. The continuous desecration of Masjid al-Aqsa, where the Zionist soldiers used to just come in and they used to handle the musallis however they wanted to. The Jews were allowed to take over the Muslim section of the masjid, coming in there and hymning their prayers, etc. And let us not forget the very bold statement of the Prime Minister of Israel, who had mentioned that we will never rest until Masjid al-Aqsa is demolished and we build a synagogue on top of that. While the entire world watched, all the Arab, the so-called Muslim states around, there's no such thing as Israel, around Palestine, they all sat back and they watched the show. My respected elders and brothers, it was Hamas, it was the Al-Qassam Brigades, it was the Mujahideen in Gaza that had taken the responsibility of the entire Ummah on their shoulders. And they had stood up to the so-called second most powerful army of the world. Backed up by the so-called most powerful army also. And all the allies, all the European countries, the Western countries, backed up by all these, and how they emerged victorious. So really, my respected elders and brothers, when a person will go into details of this 15-month war, then we will understand what a miraculous war it was. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had showed the ummah, had showed the mujahideen, had showed the entire world the miracles. Just the fact that these people, the people of Gaza, after 15 months of being bombarded, 15 months of having explosives rained down on them day and night, for them to come out in their thousands, for them to just survive this 15 months is such a great miracle. All the atrocities that were thrown at them, all the oppression and the zulm that were thrown at them, the enemy had failed miserably. It was as though they were sitting together scratching their heads and thinking that what can we do to these people now and what can we do next? And they were running out of ideas. There is a report from the time, from this, the beginning of this war. There was a $5 million reward that was offered to anyone that can come and give leads or information of the whereabouts of any of the Israeli prisoners, wherever they are being held captive. $5 million reward. And this offer had stood for 15 months. 15 months they tried. Not one part or piece of information was leaked out. And this was despite the dire need of the people of Gaza. We saw, or we may have heard of the dire situations that they were going through, as far as hunger is concerned, as far as the destruction of their buildings, destruction of everything, their land, etc. There were so many thousands of fighters. There were so many thousands of intelligence operatives. There were so many thousands of the civilians of Gaza who were seeing to the needs of these Israeli prisoners. They knew exactly the whereabouts. But not one piece of information leaked for the entire duration of this war. After the ceasefire, a few days ago, there was a confession by the head of the Mossad in the one of the Israeli channels, or maybe the Israeli newspapers, or whatever it was. And he mentions that had this offer been placed for any other nation or any other group, we would have went against our own father, we would have went against our own sons and our own family members. But these people, the people of Gaza, my respected elders and brothers, they showed the world that our maqsad, our purpose, whatever we are put through, whatever happens to us, we will remain focused on our purpose and we will stand with Hamas. The iman of these people, there was one lady that was interviewed recently, and she mentions 70 of my family members I had lost in one day. The interviewer asked her that, how do you manage? She mentions that I'm looking forward for the day of Qiyamah when I can re-bond with my family members. What iman they have. That is why in one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, طَائِفَةٌ لَا تَزَالُونَ تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. There will be one group of people that will continuously fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَدُرُّهُمْ خِذْلَانُ مَنْ خَذَلَهُمْ. Whatever you can throw at them, you can abandon them, you can forsake them, you can leave them on their own, you can let them down. But their iman will be unshakable. Their goal and their purpose, they will never deter. Their iman will be on another level altogether. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is addressing whom? He is addressing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajmain. Those or that group of people that stood with him on the battlefield of Badr. Those were with him, that were with him on the battlefield of Uhud. They saw wahi coming down. They were those who mentioned to their students and their disciples that we can take you on the battlefield of Badr. And we can show you exactly where the angels were coming down in assistance for the Ashab-e Badr. What iman and what yaqeen they must have had. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling them about the yaqeen and the iman of a special group of people. And when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked him that, O Nabi of Allah, matahum or manhum, who are these people or where will they be? And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, hum bi baytil maqdis wa akna fi baytil maqdis. These are those that reside in and around the land of Aqsa. In other words, they are none other than the Palestinians. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, Ar-ribat, that the true protection of Aqsa, min Athqalan wa Gaza, will come from Ashkelon and Gaza. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has praised these people so much. And we saw for 15 months, everything that is being done upon them, yet they emerged victorious. According to the official statements, $18 billion from America was wasted in this war. This is the official statement. Allah alone knows what's the true figure, what's the true amount. And this is one ally of Israel. All the other countries who are allies, the entire Western and the European countries who are Israel allies, what about their contribution? So much was done to these people, and yet, my respected elders and brothers, this is their victory, and this is what they have achieved. For us to fully comprehend, for us to fully understand, they are making it such, when a person will go into and look at the news and whatever it is, then the notion that is being given is that these people, the Israeli now, the soldiers and the state of Israel has allowed the Palestinians or the people of Gaza to return back to their their hometowns. But the actual fact of the matter, my respected elders and brothers, is that these people were forced to accept these negotiations. In 2024 May, when Yahya Sinwar rahmatullah alayhi, when he had placed this offer in front of the Israeli state, they blankly and they very arrogantly refused. That we don't accept these terms and conditions, and we will continue bombing Gaza until the entire Gaza is demolished, the entire Gaza is destroyed, and not one person from the people of Gaza remains. This was the promise they made to Yahya Sinwar rahmatullah alayhi. And now, just a few months or half a year later, just more than a year later, they were forced to accept these conditions. The exact same conditions that Yahya Sinwar rahmatullah alayhi had placed in May 2024. So these people, they are giving that notion that from their side they have allowed. But we know from the very beginning, whether it was medical medical fraternity, whether it was doctors, whether it was lawyers, the journalists, whether it was infrastructure, whether it was civilians, children, women, etc., it made no difference to them. According to statistics, from the time the war had started, every day there were 52 children that were being killed. From the time the war had started, every single day there were 72 adults that were being killed. There was a journalist that tried to compile a book on the names of all the martyrs that had martyred, that had left the world from the time this war had started on the 7th of October. In October last year, this book was published or whatever it was. And the first 14 pages of this very thick journal was the names of children under the age of 1 year old. In other words, few weeks, few months. They never cared for anything. And now the world is being bluffed that they are the ones that are allowing the people of Gaza to return. My respected elders and brothers, for us to understand what a victory it was for the people of Gaza, there is no time to go into details, but we need to go back towards to the time of the fall of the Ottoman Empire. In 1917, when the Khilafat had fell and Aqsa was taken away, it was given to the Jews. From then, there was just turmoil in the Ummah. The Ummah was being kicked around from pillar to post. In 1948 was the famous war that was the Nakba, that was called the Nakba, where before that the formation of the State of Israel was announced. And not long thereafter, there were certain Arab countries that had gone to war with this illegitimate state, and namely it was Iraq, Syria, Jordan, Egypt and Saudi Arabia. The result of this war was, apart from thousands and thousands of Arabs and Palestinians being massacred, what was Jewish territory remained Jewish territory. But 60% of Palestine was taken and was given to the Jews. 700,000 approximately, 700,000 Palestinians were displaced, and they were told they were made to run from their lands, never to return again. And this was known as the Nakba. Even in this war also, approximately 700,000 people of Gaza were displaced. And there was a fear. There was a fear that this might be the second Nakba. But how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it, that today, just this past Monday, when we hear reports of the people of Gaza moving from the south to the north, 376,000 in 2 days had reached the northern part of Gaza, with hundreds of thousands expected more. So indeed, my respected elders and brothers, this was a very, very great victory. This Nakba had occurred in 1948. In 1967, there was another war that was fought between this illegitimate state and three Arab countries, that was Jordan, Syria and Egypt. The result of this war was 15,000 Arabs and Palestinians massacred, and then they began to occupy the Golan Heights in Syria. Towards East Jerusalem, they took the West Bank, and also they began to occupy parts of Gaza and the Sinai. 300,000 Palestinians were displaced in this war, which was known as the Six Day War. My time is up, but the point we are trying to make, my respected elders and brothers, apart from these two major wars that were fought in the past century, there were many, many other little or skirmishes that we can call it, where they just lost land and they were defeated. This is the very first war. This is the very first war where we see the victory that the people of Gaza have achieved. I will terminate on just one incident. In May 2024, 23rd May, there was an announcement from the State of Israel that we had killed a very, very high profile head of Hamas, or the Al-Qassam brigades, by the name of Al-Hamza, Al-Faruq, Al-Hamza, Faruq or something, I'm not too sure what his name, I forgot. But this was the announcement that they made. When the ceasefire was announced, 2 days after the ceasefire, this person comes out. And it was a very great victory for them, because this person was responsible for so many attacks in a city called Beit Hanun towards the northern part of Gaza, where he was the mastermind behind everything. So when they so-called put him away, then the entire state of Israel began to celebrate. 2 days after the announcement of the ceasefire, he comes out. And he shows the world that these people with all their sophisticated equipment and everything that they have, he showed the people of Gaza, he showed the entire ummah that these people, whatever it is, when you have the nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then no one can do anything. He made an announcement, and in his speech that he delivered, he had mentioned that very quickly, that when it comes to a war, then you will always get the strong side, and you will always get the weak side. The strong and the weak. And at the end of this war, if the strong haven't met any of their objectives or fulfilled all their objectives, then indeed they are the ones that are defeated. These people, the people of the state of Israel, my respected elders and brothers, when we go and we see those four objectives that they had, there's no time to go into the details. But those four objectives, none of these objectives were fulfilled. And then after that, he mentions that the weaker side, if they emerge alive, and if they have withstood the entire war, etc., then they are the ones that are victorious. Apart from the people of Gaza just being alive, and they emerging in the hundreds of thousands, my respected elders and brothers, one of the objectives, they had two objectives. One was already fulfilled, and that was the freedom of the prisoners of Gaza. And inshallah, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the second objective, which is the main objective, and that is the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa, will happen very, very soon. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala free Masjid al-Aqsa from the clutches of the Zionist kufr regime and bring it once again under Muslim control. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.